Calvary Church presents Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Welcome again to another episode of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. I've been married for 35 years this year. I have three kids. They're all grown. My oldest son, Eddie, went home to be with the Lord 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago now. And I also have another son, Josh, serves here at the church, one of our administrative pastors, and he has excelled in ministry in ways that I could never excel. I'm proud of him, what God's doing in his life. And my daughter, she also is an expert with communications and social media and so many different things, and grateful to be alive, really. It's the grace of God to be alive and to have a life that is live for the Lord. And today I want to spring a brand new topic. It's not on our notes. We're going to talk as if I pull a brother in my office and we're going to talk about this. It's kind of like how the podcast is to begin with, except that I didn't tell Bob I was going to do this. I'm just going to do it. So first of all, I want to welcome Bob into our studio today. Welcome again for another episode.
Yeah, it's great. Should be interesting.
Are you ready for the surprise?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as big a surprise as you want, but I do think I do need to talk about it. I do want to talk about it. So before we get to it, I want to remind you that the Lead to Serve podcast is designed to help you grow in your servant leadership. Of course, we're coming to you from the perspective of pastors. That's who we are. That's how we spend and invest our lives in pastoral ministry. But don't let that throw you. We're not merely pastors. That's not the only. We have all kinds of roles in society. And before we were ever a pastor, we were believers. So you can think of it just as a couple brothers, talking to you about life and ministry and how to serve well, because I know that's why you are attracted to this podcast. You want to serve well. So if you're a pastor, going to be helpful as a pastor, a dad, mom, single, as a boss, as an employee, across the board. Pastor Bob Claycamp, he has 50 plus years of pastoral ministry experience. I'm in the 30-year range of pastoral ministry experience, so combined 80 years. But that's not where the power is. The power is not in our experience. The power is in the Word of God and being yielded to the Holy Spirit in these conversations. And that's what they are. They're not scripted, although we do have some. We do have some thoughts of how to, what direction we're going for sure. And then we're seeing a theme develop. The theme for this season developing is growing into deeper effectiveness, skills to be more usable. Like you're just asking the question, how can I be more usable? Or I feel stuck in a rut. How can I move forward? That seems to be what this season is. So welcome aboard. Remember, give us your feedback. Put a good review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, however you get it, because that helps the algorithm. Any feedback, any input, any appreciation, any topics that you want us to cover, text me 720-608-0012. That'll ping my phone, 720-608-0012, or email me ed@edtaylor.org. That's edtaylor.org. Bob also has an email and a website, bobclaycamp.com, or you can email him at bob@bobclaycamp.com. But anything that comes into me that references Bob, I'll make sure to get to him as well. So here's the topic. My pastor died, Jeff Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what we're going to end up titling this, but it's recent. It's fresh on my mind. And I want to talk about a few things related to losing your pastor or watching your pastor die or seeing him suffer or what the future holds. And the first one is how much God has put pastors in our lives more than we get to pick our pastor. Mm-hmm. I think there's a sense in our culture, this emphasis on independence, this emphasis on my choice and my, that I can go to this church and I don't like this church and I can't be fed. So I'm going to go and find me a pastor on YouTube or whatever. I don't believe and I am speaking from personal experience, I don't believe that really is God's heart. Like, I do believe you can go to another church and God could use that, obviously. But Pastor Jeff Johnson, who pastored faithfully for 50 years at Calvary Chapel in Downey, God chose this man for me. And I'll tell you how. I'm lost, could care less about church. I don't know anything about Calvary Chapel, neither do I care anything. Like, church is like as far as you can think in my life. I get invited to church, I get saved, and I believe that if God called me there, and I didn't have this concept, like didn't even read the Bible yet. I didn't even own a Bible when I got saved. I had to go to the store and buy one. But now looking back and looking at some of the struggles I had in that church and wanting to leave because I was upset about something like we all do, that God affirmed to me that he chose Jeff Johnson for me, not the other way around. Do you have any initial thoughts on that topic or that thought?
Well, I think that especially in those beginning days of walking with the Lord uses those men in your life to help lay a foundation. The shock is you initially hold them to such a high standard because they know all about the Bible and you don't. And then the longer you're with them, you find that they are human and that maybe they responded in the flesh one time and it shocked you. And you go, well, you know, how can they be anointed by God? And look what they did. And you focus on the error instead of the overall. And I realize that there are abuses. There have been spiritual abuses of leaders, but you can't throw them all under the bus because a few of them have not behaved well and have not been faithful. And I think that I look back on my life and the people that God put in the first 8.5 years of my life. It was pretty challenging. We were in a Christian youth ministry that, it was a pretty high sacrifice environment. And sometimes there were things that were done that were just harsh. And I didn't understand it at the time, but now looking back on it, given what they had to deal with, that's how they responded, and you know, God used it.
And I think we need to step back for a second and make some assumptions. No abuse, no sin, obviously there are times when you got to leave a church. I'm talking about this sense of the minor things. I don't like his jokes. I don't like his teaching style. I don't like the preference. We talked about this when it came to worship, you know, a couple years ago. Yeah. How we elevate preferences to something other than what they really need to be, where we live in a day and age where the Bible says that in the last days, with our itching ears, we're going to heap up teachers for ourselves. But that happens in this consumer culture to begin with, where God put a pastor in your life, and he put that pastor in your life. Again, no abuse. Obviously, if there's abuse, you're not do not submit to that. That is not the heart of God. We're just talking normal men, like you said, normal mistakes and things that I believe God would put you under the leadership of a particular pastor so that you could see those mistakes and learn from them. So you could respond to that personality and learn from them so that you could learn submission. You can learn honor. You can learn obedience. Even the Bible says to obey your leaders,
right.
And learn how to live life outside of yourself. And one of the primary tools that God uses in our lives are pastors. And while we may have preferences, it's important that we accept that God puts pastors in our lives on purpose.
That's true. I think that I grew so much under my first pastor, who was John Higgins.
Yes.
And while he has his own way of doing things and his own personality and all that, there were lessons of discipleship and endurance and focus that I don't know if I would have picked up from anybody else because I watched it. I watched him live it out. I watched the fruit of it. And God puts those models, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to teach in terms of ministry is where Moses has Aaron and Hur holding up his arms. And what an uncomfortable place that must have been for Aaron and Hur to be out on a hot day on the armpits of Moses, yeah. knowing that as they positioned themselves in such a way where his arms were up, there was victory. And when they fell, there was defeat, and they wanted victory. So they yeah. did whatever it needed to. And I refer to that as the armpit ministry. And really, if you think about it, a lot of ministries that way, like right. like you're dealing with the reality. If I'm around Bob long enough, I'm going to see weaknesses in Bob, and Bob's around Ed long enough. We're humans. And I want you guys listening right now, even if you're a pastor or a leader, God put you in someone's life to minister to them. And one of the reasons it hurts when somebody leaves or bails or quits on you is that you value that relationship. Now let's talk relationship real quick. And then I want to talk about my love for Pastor Jeff for a second. But Pastor Jeff and I were not close. He wasn't that kind of man. Pastor Jeff was about the age of my dad, and you are as well. You're probably a little bit younger than my dad. Like Pastor Jeff was a little bit younger than my dad. And he came from a generation, you put your head down, you work. That's how my dad expressed love. He worked, took care of the family, didn't have to worry about anything. He worked overtime and just go, go, go. If he was sick, he went to work. That's just how he was. And that he wasn't super affectionate. There wasn't a lot of hugging in my life, but I knew he loved me because I figured it out somehow. That's how he expresses his love for me. So Pastor Jeff, very similar. I was there for 8 years. And in 8 years, I probably spoke to the man 3 times. And it wasn't very substantive because he was fulfilling his call. And if you don't understand that, you'll be offended. But he wasn't mean-spirited at all. He was a great guy, very affable, very fun, very funny. He just had a call to pastor a church of 6,000-7,000 people. And he was surrounded by, 12, 13 pastors, of which those are the ones I did serve with. One man in particular, Rudy Cardenas, who was the children's ministry pastor, he's the one I got a lot of time with, although the time I got with him wasn't like hanging out, buddy, going fishing, because guess what? He had a call too to take care of those kids. I mean, the scope of the ministry at Downey when I was serving there, on Wednesday night, we served over 300 kids, not including junior high and high school. Huh. I mean, the place was rocking, man. It was yeah. it was unbelievable what we were a part of, and it was amazing. But Pastor Rudy also, he had his own calling. And so the most time that I spent with him was serving with him, being alongside of him and going to funerals with him or
right.
being in proximity so that I could learn and grow and he could speak into my life. And so sometimes there's these expectations that men and women place on pastors that are just unfair and unreal, where, we want to be your friend and can you come to our house and have dinner? I would love to come to your house and have dinner, but if I accepted every invitation that I received from the precious flock that I have, even when the church was much smaller, I would never have dinner with my family.
Yeah.
And so I have to schedule it, or I have to say no more often than yes. And Pastor Jeff was like that. So someone had texted me, I'm so sorry that you experienced the loss of Pastor Jeff. I know he was a mentor to you. I want to explain that too. I can say very definitively that he was a mentor to me. However, not how people use that word. Like, so he didn't sit me down and say, Ed, this is how you're supposed to do this. You have to do this. How he mentored me is he taught me the Bible.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He taught me the Bible. Sunday mornings, taught me the Bible. Wednesday nights, taught me the Bible. If he had a vacation or a mission trip, guess what? He had somebody there to teach me the Bible. And from a distance, I could watch. And from
it was discipleship from a distance.
Yes. And the episodes that he had, if he did a leadership thing, then he taught us as a group. Like over the years, you begin to appreciate everybody's different roles so that you also give room for those that are in your life to be who they are without any unrealistic expectations. Because pastors, they die the death of unrealistic expectations. And so for Pastor Jeff, I had to receive that this is the man God put in my life, and this is what God wants him to do in my life. He wants that man to pray, study, and teach me the Bible. And that's what he did, and helped me tremendously become a man, a husband, a dad, an employee, eventually a boss, a leader, an elder, a pastor, a church planner. And Jeff would sit down and he's like, I didn't know I did any of that. Like, how did I do that? I was out surfing, you know, I was hanging with my grandkids, you know, I was living life, not that in lieu of ministry, like I'm being facetious in some regards, although he did get days off, but he's praying, studying, teaching, and I'm in a mode of receiving. And I think it's important for everyone listening here to know that and not underestimate that the systematic teaching of the Bible is discipleship.
Yeah.
It is not replaced. Even what gets read into the life of Jesus, Jesus in his discipleship was unique. He was training men to save the world. We fall short. We obviously, this is where people take things too far. Well, you should disciple like Jesus. I know. Yes, I agree. However, you already begin to make exceptions when you're not willing to quit your job and live with me for 3 years. I mean, that nobody does that because that's not realistic. So we approach a first century God in human flesh model with applications that might facilitate our growth.
When you plant a church, it's you and your family opening up your home, or maybe you and a small team going to a town, and the people that first come in and are with you, you have a more intimate relationship with them because of just the size of things.
Yeah.
But when you step into a work that's large, you can't expect that same level of intimacy with the leader. It's not practical. It just doesn't work that way. And it's not just about you. It's about what God is doing in that particular season of your life or the season of the church life. I mean, I've pastored a medium-sized church. I've pastored a very small church. The dynamics are different. I'm here, and this is a larger church, and there are more a different strategy in diving in and getting to know people and clarifying your expectations.
That word expectation keeps popping up because as a new believer, I had zero expectation, literally. I was just wanting to stay out of jail, maybe my wife won't leave me, and I don't even know what changed. I knew I was a bad person, but really had no knowledge of how bad I really was until the Word of God, and not even in a negative way, just a reality way. And I had no expectations. However, as things began to get cleaned up, as I became a different man, as a born-again believer, as I began to know the Bible, as I listen to the Bible Answer Man on the radio or whatever, all of a sudden, I have these expectations. All of a sudden, I approach Jeff. When I first walked into that church, is this what you guys do? Okay, I'm ready to do it. Is this what you guys do? Okay, we're ready to do it. What is this? Community, is what you do? Okay. And somewhere subtly down the road, oh, is this what you guys do? I don't like it. Is this what you guys do? I don't know. What happened to me? What happens to us? Where we go in wide-eyed and expectant from the Lord, and now our expectations become very, very selfish and self-centered, and we blame the pastor for things. Well, we blame the church for things.
Yeah.
That it's nothing to do with the pastor or the church. It's all you.
But that's human relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden you meet this girl, and it's just like, wow, amazing. And then you spend time with her, and she with you, and after a while, you know, it's amazing the things that you first saw as enchanting and so cool, after a while become kind of different. And then even after a while, it's like they're so annoying. Those very same things.
Yeah.
You know, now they're annoying and they're like you're ready to break relationship because how odd, you know, what kind of an odd bird is this? But those are the same things that drew you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just human relationship.
Of course. When it comes to the church, maybe you're a pastor listening in or a leader and you had somebody leave, you know, in a Bible teaching church like ours, the thing that we hear the most is, oh yeah, I'm not being fed anymore. You know, that's like taking somebody to a buffet and they sit at the table. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm not being fed. The food's right there. It's all served for you. Like, just pick it up and put it in your mouth. What's trying to be communicated is something completely different than not being fed. There's preferences and everything. But I just think back, as I've been thinking about Pastor Jeff since his passing, just God chose that man for me. And I had to learn to appreciate that after I became so haughty and high-minded and prideful, because it didn't start out that way. In the beginning, it was like, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Something changed. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, you hear people too. You hear gossip. You hear complaining. You hear, and like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, yeah, it's like what I warn our church. Like, stop gossiping. Be like, you don't even, those folks were just living their life, like loving the Lord until you came and started soiling their mind with this stuff. Now they're upset like you are, and they weren't upset before you showed up. So stop it. Stop sinning. It's defiling. But I think back to those years, and now 30 years later, and the relationship that we did develop, and the more I did get to understand him and his wife, and the more I did get to serve, I mean, geez, I got to serve alongside of him. I served at conferences with him. I taught him. I taught at his church while he's sitting there with his, like, to your own pastor. But then I learned that although he is always my pastor, there wasn't semblance where I got to serve alongside of him, where we were co-laborers together, where I didn't just hold up his arms, but I held up his arms by filling the pulpit that God entrusted to him. And so, you know, it's a bummer when a good man dies. You know, we had Pastor Avan pass away here in our own church recently. And when I shared at the memorial, I shared, like, when a good man dies, like with Isaiah, when everything changed for Isaiah when King Uzziah died. That's when everybody's eyes opened up. And that's when Isaiah, his very well could have had his eyes on the king. And when his eyes were off the king and back on the Lord, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And so it's hard. Have you ever lost a pastor in your life in the last few years like that, to death?
I have some friends, some colleagues. Charlie Johnson started almost, he was in Apache Junction, Arizona. Co-labored a long time there. He always had heart issues.
No.
I've had some other people that you just sense. Phil Pachonis over in England.
That's right. That was a big blow.
He was the one that, and I watched him go down. He had stomach cancer, and then he had sepsis, and I watched him go down, and it was, it kind of rocked my world, because he was quite a visionary on what could have happened in the southwestern part of England.
Yeah.
And with that voice no longer there, I had to get my eyes back on the Lord and saying, Lord, it's you and me. And although I like that he was there and spoke into my life and all and was an inspiration, the Lord has to be my inspiration ultimately. And so it was a reminder for me. You know, we were over there when Pastor Chuck passed away. We knew that day was probably coming, but then it's like a slap in the face
when
you hear it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and then a year later, Phil went. And so it was like, boom, boom. Yeah. And yeah, so it's just the reality of life, though.
It is. And we have to be ready for it. I would even add to that while our pastors are alive, we should remember them, encourage them, serve them. Like that's important. And even if you're a pastor listening right now and you're kind of like, amen, amen, even in your role as a brother, you have that opportunity to pour into your pastor, encourage them. Now, of course, if you have lost your pastor because of abuse or something, then develop a real close relationship where you invite someone into your life to speak hard things to you or to give you direction, because you also need someone in your life like Paul that can speak forth the word of God into your life in a fresh way. Not, my pastor's on the radio or my pastor's, that's not technically possible. Pastoral ministry and relationships are personal, not technological. So it has to come second.
There's no accountability when you're just doing it online.
Right.
And God has designed that accountability in the body of Christ. And without that, you're kind of a loose cannon.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank God publicly for Pastor Jeff Johnson. He's happy. We're sad. And as I remind And really, as we're talking about some of these difficulties, I really never had a problem with Pastor Jeff. I questioned a couple of his choices as pastor before, that's only because I was so desperate to be on staff. I wanted so desperately to be a staff pastor, and he would bring up somebody that they got it and I didn't. Then he'd bring up someone, they got it and I didn't. But that was not a Pastor Jeff problem. That was an Ed problem. That was all me. And I had to learn that, though. I had to learn that. I'll give you a quick question. We're winding down today. I got two things to share on this episode. But on the last guy he brought up, he called him as Timothy. And it was just, I was so upset. I'm like, doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know what I do? All of, it was so bad. And I had decided we are going to another church. And I had all my reasons that were invalid completely. But on the way out, I had to tell my overseeing pastors. And so the first guy I go to, he was overseeing me in a couple ministries, and I made an appointment with them. And I went in. I'm out of here. And he goes, where are you going? And I'm like, no, I'm serious. I'm leaving this church. And I, you know, because of so-and-so is a new pastor here and Jeff doesn't know me. And he just lets me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And he pauses there in his office. I have a visual memory, so I remember it. And I don't remember the exact words, but I got the whole visual sitting in his office there. And he lets me talk and he says, okay, so where are you going? I don't know, anywhere but here. I don't know yet. Oh, so, you know, your God's going to lead you out of the church and your family's just going to be out there all by, you know, he's giving me great counsel, but kind of being edgy about it because I was edgy about it. And then he told me something that he wasn't really known for these nuggets of truth, but this was a nugget that I'll never forget. He looked at me after everything was said and done and we're pretty much wrapping up. And he said, so Ed, you think your pastor's bigger than God? I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it really sounds like you're giving Pastor Jeff way more credit for what's going on than God. Because obviously God's doing a work here and he's doing a work with that guy that's up on the stage, but look what he's doing with you. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't even make the appointment with the other pastor. I'm like, you're so right. I'm so wrong. I mean, I'm tearing up thinking about it. I was so wrong. It had nothing to do with my pastor. It had everything to do with me. And then God put one of his assistants in my life, Glenn, who was just speaking for it, like, just talk, talk, talk. It's like, you know, and really the word he wanted to tell me is God is bigger. You can trust God.
Yeah.
God's doing something here.
Yeah.
And now I look back, I can see a couple things he was doing. And one of them was he didn't want me on staff there. He wanted me to keep my job.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of reasons, but one of them is he wanted to keep my job. Because through a lot of those, that's how I moved to Colorado, that job.
Yeah.
He wanted me to be on that teaching that I still listen to Pastor Jeff almost every day. That's the man that God gave me an ear to hear his teaching. And that's the man that God would surround him with and have these people pastor me. And that's how I can go through it. To run away, because somebody even offered me in those early days an assistant pastor job. And I see the potential in you and you're going to be a great pastor one day. Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, I was so tempted because that's all I wanted was notoriety and the title. And I didn't want the Lord. And fortunately, I had enough sense and so did Marie to help me as my wife. It was young. I was like a couple years in the Lord. Like I was all jacked up still. I needed a lot of maturity. And maybe this pastor did see something in me. That's great. But it wasn't the will of the Lord. It wasn't. God had work for me to do. And so I want to thank God for longevity. I thank you for the 29 years you gave to North Phoenix.
Yeah,
I thank God for the 50 years that Pastor Jeff gave to Downey. And I mean, he's one of those low-key, under-the-radar, doesn't get a lot of attention pastors, but the fruit from his ministry, there are literally people around. I was just emailing with a brother, Jeff, and his wife, Christina, who's serving in Georgia. They were the cutting edge families that planted all the churches in Vladimir. Even connected to when you lost or left your wife in Siberia on purpose.
It was not purpose.
but, you know, I was just texting with Jeff and what God's doing here and Jeff's brothers in Idaho doing a great work in Twin Falls and on and on. I mean, there's so many people in Colorado that came out of Downey pastoring churches here as well. So just wanted to get that out. It's been on my mind, kind of a spur of the moment topic, but God picks your pastor for you, and you should do what the Bible says. Remember your leaders who have taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. Obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. And finally, greet all your leaders and all the believers there. The believers from Italy send their greetings. So remember, obey, greet them, love them, serve your pastors. And if you're a pastor and you're really going through it right now, we're sorry. It is hard seeing people leave the newest, latest thing. They got this youth group and you don't have a youth group, and they got this and you don't got this. But you be faithful, because God has called you to a calling. And you're right, you'll probably never have a youth group like that, because that's not what God's will for you is. They probably don't teach the Bible. What is it that you want? You spend all that time teaching the Bible. They use the Bible, but they don't teach the Bible. And you know, I was thinking this too, because we have people leaving the church here all the time for the latest and the greatest. There's always some new church, some new big thing, some new popular thing, new building, whatever. And one of the things many years ago that the Lord just reminded me of is, you know, Ed, you were the new church once. It's okay. Let me do what I want to do with my sheep. Even let them make mistakes or whatever. Let me take care of the flock, and you tend the flock that is under your care. And it's, you know, it's okay. It's okay there are new things, because new people are being reached. And we just need to pray to be faithful in what we're doing. And I have a pastor, Jeff Johnson, who's in the presence of the Lord. We're praying now for his wife, Karen, Tara, Christy, the grandkiddos, and everyone connected to them, that the Lord would encourage them and strengthen them. And of course, bless Pastor Art and all that God's doing in the new leadership, because he had just handed it over to a young man to take this church into the new generation. And may the Lord continue to do what he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting in through this impromptu session. But I want you to learn how to appreciate your pastor, love on them, serve them, tell them that, write them notes, text them, give them gifts, whatever it might be. Let God use you to be an encouragement to your pastor. Don't lop on them all these unrealistic expectations. It breaks relationship. Let the pastor be who God's called him to be. This is another episode of Lead to Serve. If you have any feedback, give it to us. If you want to leave a great review, please do that. It doesn't take long. Just hit the 5 stars or write a little note that the Lord's blessing you. And then the computer algorithm picks that up and shoots this to people that are looking for a podcast just like this. You can text me directly, 720-608-0012. Email me, ed@edtaylor.org. My website is edtaylor.org, or the church website, calvaryco.church. So lots of information, but the Lord bless you, encourage you, strengthen you. And until next time, stay close and stay in the grace of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.